Recording started.
Good morning and happy Easter. Thank you for joining this Easter celebration this morning on Rev Ing Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we take a moment to set the intention and declaration of our time together by listening to Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
For this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you, and I pray that our life goes the better, staying true with the moon that is you. Lord, I pray that
so we take the time out of the busyness of this thing called life to spend the next 45 minutes or so in deepening down into the conscious presence of the ever-present spirit. This Easter Sunday, I'd like to begin with a psalm written by Edward Hayes, entitled An Easter Psalm. Christ is risen, hallelujah, cries out the chorus of creation. Christ is risen, hallelujah, sing the supple winds of spring. Christ is risen, hallelujah, ring out lilies in silent splendor. The feast of feasts, the festival of hope, the mother of all Sundays, luminous in the full moon of spring, radiant in the rising of the sun. Easter dances upon my rooftop and plays like a newborn child in the cradle of my heart. I rejoice like all of creation, sailing on springtime seed-bearing breezes. And like the lily's trumpet, I open wide my throat and my heart to join with all of heaven and earth in singing out the symphony of joy at Easter's annual return. I take hope in Christ's victory over death, hope that one with him I will also have my Easter morning, when I will be freed from the prison, the decaying dusty tomb of my narrow and stony spirit. I trust that I too will spring-like arise to a fullness of living and loving, to a life beyond all time and space, to a life one with you, my God. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. I soon will be next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly, I welcome you this morning to our Easter Sunday Soul Connection. At a time when many people forget that the reason we are celebrating Easter is the glorious resurrection of the Christ, and that it is not something that occurred just 2,000 years ago, but something that can be occurring in our lives daily as we crucify and die to that which no longer serves us and resurrect into the light and the truth of our being, the Christ within. Good Friday, I shared with you the wonderful statements that our beloved teacher, Yeshua, shared with us even from the cross. Even though he was nailed and suffering, even though he was feeling the pain excruciating in his form, he still was teaching and ministering to us. And one of the greatest and the first teachings that he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe with all my heart and soul that without this compassion of forgiveness, there would have been no resurrection. The vibration of the guilt, the anger and the annoyance would have kept him in that tomb. But his great heart enabled them to look at the people that had beaten him, stoned him, and crucified him, and still ask forgiveness for them. What is there in our lives that we cannot be forgiving? He turns to the thief on the right and says, today you will be with me in paradise, demonstrating that we don't have to wait far off for the blessings of God. It's in the immediate, it's in the moment, it's in the present. He said, do not say that the fields are, the harvest is 3 months off, but look, raise your consciousness and see that the fields are already white, but the harvest is a few. Ever demonstrating in his ministry that God's good, God's abundance, God's peace, God's joy, God's wholeness is now. He looks down and makes a third statement to his mother and his beloved disciple and said, Mother, look at your son. And to his disciples, look at your mother. Showing us and reminding us that we are one family. It's not just about who we are related to in blood, but we are of the family of spirit. We are all God's children. And in his humanity, he showed us his divinity when crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that God hadn't left him or that God could ever leave him. But reminding us that whenever we are in the depths of our sorrows or throes, that we can reach out to the divine who is always with us and has never left us. The fifth statement, he says, I thirst. And immediately he was handed a sponge soaked in wine, vinegar, and gall, demonstrating that as you ask, it shall be given unto you. The sixth statement he makes is that it is finished. There always is an end to everything that we are going through in life. Whether we call those things challenges, whether we call those things wonderful and happy experiences, there is a circle and a cycle to it. And Jesus had completed his cycle and was able to say, it is finished. And the final statement that he made on that cross was, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Truly demonstrating that we all have to surrender our spirit to God and let God guide and direct our ways. So as we take up the story from that crucifixion, we know that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked if he could take the body of Jesus. And he put it in a new grave that had been hewn in the hillside. And there he laid the body and covered it with the cloth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were worried because Jesus had already prophesied that he would rise in 3 days, that they thought that maybe his disciples might go and steal the body away to try and make it so, and ask Pilate to post a guard to ensure that no one could steal the body away. So on the Sabbath, Jesus' body was put into the grave, the stone was put across there, and the Roman soldiers were guarding it. Now it says that on the third morning, that Mary and some of the women went down with herbs and oils to anoint his body. Well, let's bear in mind that Jesus had told them several times over what was going to happen. That he would be arrested, that he would be crucified, and yet he would rise from the grave. And yet they'd gone expecting him to be dead, expecting to find a corpse in the body, in the grave, expecting that they would use the oils and the herbs to anoint his dead corpse. These were women that had seen him, not once, not twice, but three times raise people from the dead. He raised the widow's son, he raised Jairus' daughter, and not a week before, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And yet, they didn't believe that he himself could rise from the dead. And so the women went with the herbs and the spices and the oils. And as they were going on their way, they were fretting, now who's going to move the stone for us? How are we going to get that moved away? What's going to happen when we get there? Remember, these are the women that were with Jesus as he did the miracles, as he taught them, as he showed and demonstrated by example over and over again that he goes to the Father within in order to do all that he does, and that we can do the same. We can go to the God within, the Father within, to do anything that we desire, to ask for anything that we require. There is no difference between him and us. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. We're not doing greater works. We're hardly doing any works. We allow the fear to inhibit us. We allow doubt and worry and all manner of other things to stop us. I read this quote and it made me smile by Charles Colson. He says, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. And then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. And you're telling me 12 apostles couldn't keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. I smiled when I read that. But even at the beginning, his disciples were the greatest skeptics, and he knew that. So as the woman arrived at the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. And there were two luminous beings in white, to which they were so afraid when they first saw them. And the first thing that the angel says to them, why are you seeking Jesus the living among the dead? And the woman was startled, not knowing kind of what to respond. And the angels continue to say, don't you recall the promise he made to you? Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and then be crucified on the third day to rise again? The women, some of them, ran back to the disciples to tell them that Jesus had risen, that he wasn't in the tomb, and what the angel had said. And Mary Magdalene, had stayed behind, not knowing quite what to do. And she looks round and she sees someone thinking that he was the gardener. And she says, sir, please tell me, where have you moved him? Where have you moved our Lord? And Jesus simply says, Mary. And as he says that, she realizes it's Jesus. And he says, do not yet hold me, for I have not yet ascended. But go and tell the disciples that I have arisen. Here, here he reveals himself. And as I was thinking about this, I was wondering why it was she didn't recognize him immediately. And I thought about how sometimes our good doesn't show up the way we expect it to look. Jesus did not quite have the physical form that he had before. And so she wasn't able to recognize him, thinking that he was just the gardener, and asking him, where have you taken our Lord? But when he said Mary, in her heart she knew. She felt and was awakened and stirred to the realization that this was the Lord. You see, if we look deeper, we can think of the tomb as our past, filled with memories of how things used to be and how it was. And sometimes we can spend so much time wondering about how can we move away the stone that keeps those pasts buried in our hearts and not allowing it to resurrect and rise up. But it can be done. Jesus showed us the way. We can crucify all that is limitless, limited, all that is negative. We can cross those things out of our life. They don't need to be entombed in us any longer. We don't need to keep them buried inside ourselves. That the resurrection experience of 2,000 years ago is still here and now available to us. To cross out in our lives everything and anything that doesn't serve us. To crucify out that which no longer is in alignment with who we are and who we need to be. That we can resurrect up into the true nature, the Christ nature, that is our divine birthright. After Jesus appears to Mary and the women, she rushes and tells them, Peter and John come running. John stays on the outside and just pokes his head round to see that, yes, the tomb is indeed empty. And Peter actually goes inside and picks up the cloth that had been covering Jesus. And they go back and they tell the other disciples, and still the disciples are disbelieving. Still they are having a hard time remembering that Jesus had told them he would resurrect. And so Jesus appears again. This time two disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, the two of them are talking about what has occurred and how this great tragedy has happened and what's to become of them. And Jesus appears beside the two of them and said, what are you talking about? And they're asking, well, where have you been? Do you not know what's happened in Jerusalem? Do you not know what's taken place, what they did to this innocent man, this teacher, our Messiah? And Jesus starts to share with them different points from the Bible and the Torah, what it was written and said about him from all those years ago. And they still didn't recognize who he was. And when they reached the end of where they needed to go, Jesus was continuing onwards, and they begged him to stay and come and have supper as it was late. And he went in with them. And as he went in with them, he sat down, and as he broke the bread, he blessed it. And as he did that, it says their eyes were open, and they knew that it was him. They recognized him. And then he disappears. And they said, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked on the road and when he opened us to the scriptures? And it wasn't that Jesus was quoting the Bible to them, but he was interpreting it, taking them into a deeper meaning so that they could understand truly, not the Bible just taken on open value and open faith, but really going deep and seeing what it really meant. The disciples leave and go back to tell the other disciples that they have seen God, that they have seen Jesus, and still they are disbelieving. We know that Thomas says, yes, unless I see him and see the nail holes in his hands and his feet, I'm not believing. And so Jesus appears in the room with doubting Thomas and says, peace be with you. And says to Thomas, Thomas, come look. Come put your hand in the side where the sword pierced me. Come feel the holes in my hands. But do not doubt, but believe. Now you will believe just because you've seen me, but blessed are those who can believe without seeing. A demonstration that we don't need to see to believe, but we need to believe to see. That has always been the teachings of the Master. According to your belief, be it done unto you. And so, again, he's been showing each of the disciples, appearing to them, reminding them of everything that he had shared with them whilst he was alive. Whilst he was there walking with them, eating with them. And in this time, he actually says, come, I'm hungry, give me something to eat. To show that he wasn't a ghost, that he wasn't a spirit. That he was alive, flesh and blood, because spirits will not be eating food. And so, still, there are some disciples that still aren't believing. And he appears yet again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, where there were seven of them fishing, but hadn't caught anything. And he's standing at the shore and he says, children, have you any fish? And they say, no, they have not. And he tells them to throw the net to the right side. And as they do this and they haul in the fish, Peter sees and realizes it's Jesus and jumps out of the boat and rushes to meet him. And again, demonstrating that when he says, children, do you have any fish? Meaning, do we have the divine ideas of who we are? Do we have the divine understanding that really we are limitless beings? And when he tells them to throw the net to the right side, again, a deeper demonstration of look to the right way of thinking, the right way of seeing things, the right way of being, to get the good that you want, to get the abundance that you want, to get the healing that you want. Throw the net, throw your ideas from them, get them from the right side. You see, everything Jesus did, everything he demonstrated, was showing us the way. He always said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And even up to the end, he's showing us this. His last words now to Peter. We know that Peter denied him three times. Jesus, the all-loving and all-compassionate one, knew he needed to help Peter release the karmic debt that he would be carrying. And so three times he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I do. Well, tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. And so, three times he absolves Peter for the three denials that he did on Good Friday when he denied him before the cock had crowed twice. And so, this resurrecting Easter Sunday, we can see that the resurrecting experience is not just something that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but is an experience that each and every one of us can have as we allow the Christ to be resurrected in our consciousness, as we crucify that which is no longer in alignment with who we are as children of the Most High God. We can resurrect into the awareness, into the body of light, into the body of love, into the body of compassion. He tells the disciples but that they are to go out into the world and to preach this good news. St. Francis of Assisi says, Lord, may I preach wherever I go, but may I only use words when necessary. I believe that we are each here to preach in our own way. And people confuse the word preaching, thinking I'm talking about being a minister and giving a sermon. But when I'm talking about preaching, I'm talking about how we express the divine life within us. St. Francis says, let me only use words when necessary, meaning that let our actions speak for us. Let our actions speak to the love and the compassion that Jesus demonstrated throughout his life. Secondly, he called them to repent, which simply means to turn away from the way you've been and turn onto the path of God. To remember to turn to God in faith, to come to God for everything, for your every need. Turn away from the old ways of thinking and believing and step forth into this new way of connecting and aligning yourself with the divine. The third thing he said was to forgive, to forgive, to forgive, to forgive the mistakes, to forgive the errors, not only the ones that you will make, but those of others. The fourth thing he tells them is that all authority resides in his name. He says, anything that you ask in my name, it shall be done. Anything. He didn't say some things or just those things that relate to religion or spirituality. He said, anything you ask in my name, it will be done. So when we ask in the name, be it Jesus or the Christ within, when we ask believing, it is done unto us. And the fifth thing he said, that this was a message for all nations. This was a message for all people. This wasn't now just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the Pharisees or the Jews or the Galileans or the Nazarenes. This was a message for all nations, for all people. That there is love, that we are love, that we are created in love and created for love, created to express love and created to be love. This is the message of Jesus. And so, my divine beloveds, on this wonderful Easter morning, I invite you to just truly embrace his message of love, of compassion, of forgiveness. And so our science of mind reading this morning is entitled, Let It Go. The first quote comes from Neville Goddard, who says, I cannot forgive without repentance. Repent means a radical change in attitude, a change in mind, a reversal or revision of my thinking. The second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, and it says, it is scientific to consciously let go all of our troubles. It is most unwise to hold them. The author says, hanging on to past hurts and resentments keep us trapped in the past. It keeps us from living up to our full potential. Hanging on to what someone said or did to us keeps us in bondage. It's time to let it go. In order for us to let it go, we must be willing to forgive, and that can be difficult. Most of the time it's hard to forgive because we do not want to let go of the past. We may say we do, but the truth is that we don't. Sometimes hanging on to the past gives the ego something to gripe about. However, it becomes easier when we realize that forgiveness is not saying that what happened is okay. Forgiveness is the way we can let go of what no longer serves us. Forgiveness is the key to freedom. We can all find someone or something to forgive, but of the most important person for us to forgive is ourselves. To forgive is to love. So to forgive ourselves is to love ourselves. And we can forgive ourselves for the mistakes we made and for the decisions we made that didn't turn out right for us. We have the honor of forgiving ourselves for not following the guidance of spirit. Take the time to allow any resentments to surface, then love yourself by forgiving them. it's time to let them all go. As I said before, I truly believe that without forgiveness there would have been no resurrection. I found a beautiful story that I wanted to share with you. And it speaks to the miracle of this whole Easter experience. Back in 1997, Ken's 12-year-old son Daniel suddenly collapsed on court at a basketball game in his school gym. Doctors discovered 5 aneurysms in his brain, one of which had burst. He was in a coma for more than 30 days. Every night, Ken kept watch by Daniel's bed at the hospital, hoping and praying for a miracle, some sign that he would wake up. But weeks passed and nothing happened. The doctors prepared Ken and his wife, Nancy, for the worst. Daniel might never come back. Though all appeared hopeless, Ken refused to give up. And on Easter Sunday, he finally got the sign he so desperately prayed for. Daniel was still not showing any signs of life, and it was coming up to Easter. I just had this feeling that Easter was going to be special. I kept thinking, this is the holiest of holy days. This is what our faith revolves around. What better day than Easter Sunday to see something, any kind of sign? I left the hospital for 9 o'clock Easter Mass. I didn't tell anyone my hopes. It felt like it was just between me and God. Nobody else knew. I went back to the hospital after church, hoping to find a miracle. I was waiting, looking for a sign, but there was no sign. Everyone in our family was going to celebrate Easter at the hospital. I was sitting in the chair with Nancy next to Danny's bed. My brother-in-law Steve and sister-in-law Debbie came to visit. We didn't have enough chairs in the room, so I sat at the foot of the bed by Danny. At that point, no miracle had happened, and I was starting to feel like nothing would. And then, all of a sudden, I got this little poke from Danny. I turned around and looked at him and said something a little outrageous for me. "Did you just kick me in the butt?" Danny gave the faintest of smiles. Everyone saw it. Nancy, Debbie, and Steve, we all saw it. Danny always had a really good sense of humor, and he was still in a coma, but that little poke was a sign that Danny was still in there. The doctor said it was impossible, that the smile was just reflexes, that Danny was too deep in a coma. But I knew my prayers were answered. I knew what I saw, and I knew that smile, a reassuring, "I'm here." It was the most beautiful Easter, and 2 weeks later, against all the doctor's predictions, Danny woke up. It was a long road to recovery, but today Danny is an accomplished musician dedicated to giving back. And in 2006, the family started Daniel's Music Foundation, a New York-based nonprofit that provides free music classes to anyone with a developmental or physical disability, regardless of age. And so here was a father whose miracle happened because of his belief on Easter Sunday. The teacher said, "According to your belief, be it done unto you." That father's belief was unwavering, and it became demonstrated. And so, my beloveds, I invite you now to take a moment as we go within. As we go within and deepen into our heart space, into that center and the cave of the heart where we can commune with the Father in secret. And the Father that sees and hears in secret will reward us openly. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes. And bring your attention to the gentle inhalation and exhalation of the breath, the ebbing and the flowing, the rising and the falling. As always, I like to remind you, it is the Spirit of God that has made you. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives you life. As you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. As you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. You breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Healing. forgiveness. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I resurrect to light. As you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I crucify and let go. Inhale. This is my breath as I resurrect into light. Exhale. This is my breath as I crucify and let go. Resurrect into light. 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 Crucify, let go. Resurrect into light. Crucify and let go. I want to share with you in this space something written by Paramahansa Yogananda that we need to take into our hearts and minds and body and our spirit. Thou dost resurrect thyself from the bondage of flesh, karma, ignorance, and reincarnation to inspire us with thine invisible, omnipresent wisdom, that we may know how to resurrect the divine image within us from the bodily confinement of sense lures, from the miasma of doubt. Resurrect our vision into the region of invincible understanding, from the atmosphere of mental smallness. Teach us to resurrect our large-heartedness in the kingdom of love from all, from the darkness of delusion. Resurrect us into the sphere of thy lambent effulgence. From race and class prejudices, teach us to resurrect our spirit of brotherhood in the oneness of universal union. Bless us, O Christ, that from this moment we use our inner sense of intuition's discrimination to follow all the mental, moral, and spiritual laws by which we can resurrect our soul from the enthrallment of cosmic delusion into the everlasting freedom of God contact. I invite you to take a deep breath as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anyone or anything that is in need of prayer. So in this resurrection experience, in this Easter experience, as we link our hearts and minds across the airways, joining with one another, truly embracing the sisterhood and brotherhood that Jesus has admonished. Knowing that we are including all nations of this beautiful globe that we live on. We know that there is no one that is excluded outside the presence and the power and the love of the Almighty. So in this awareness, in this alignment, we each open up our hearts to send forth the resurrecting light, the resurrecting love, the resurrecting presence, to be a healing touch, to be a renewing touch, to be a blessing to all those in this world at this moment, at this time. For those that are in need of healing, be it of mind, spirit, or body, we're sending forth this resurrecting blessing upon their lives. For those that are grieving in doubts or in despair, we send forth this resurrecting love to touch and comfort them at this time. For those that are in despair in war-torn areas, that are suffering from the experience of war or terrorist attacks, the useless killing of one another, we send forth this resurrecting love at this time. To our governors, to our leaders of this world that are seeking to guide and direct us, we send forth this resurrecting wisdom at this time to touch them, to look beyond the borders and the boundaries, to see truly that we are one kind, humankind, mankind. On this Easter Sunday, as we resurrect into the light and the fullness and the totality of our being, we heed the lessons and the teachings of our way-shower, our master, our teacher, and our friend, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. As we allow the Christ to be awakened within ourselves, as we come into the remembrance that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that right where we are Christ in expression. In this resurrecting experience of today, this Easter, let all of us be gathered in hearts and minds and in oneness to resurrect into the fullness, into the fullest expression of being love and compassion, to be holding the divine in and through all of creation and all that's created. Let us live and love. Let us forgive. Let us embrace one another. Let us truly take and embody the teachings of our way-shower and our friend, that even unto death on the cross and beyond, showed us to forgive, showed us to love, showed us to have compassion, and above all, showed us who we are in God and who God is in us. Let this resurrecting Easter experience fill your hearts, your minds, your souls. Together we say, Amen. Take a deep breath as I unmute the phones and invite you to repeat our morning's affirmations.
All participant lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
So our first affirmation, I let go of all that does not serve me.
I let go of all that does not serve me.
I let go and let God guide and direct me.
I let go and let God guide and direct me.
And I am free now.
And I am free now.
Our Buddhist meditation. I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly,
In thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly. In thought, word, or deed. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May they be free.
Now our prayer of protection, the light of God surrounds me.
The light of God surrounds me.
The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. And so I'd like to leave you with one or two final quotes. Jean-Yves Leloup says, if you're a Buddhist, inspire yourself by thinking of the Bodhisattva. If you're a Christian, think of the Christ, who came not to be served by others, but to serve them in joy, in peace, and in generosity. For these things, these are not mere words, but acts which go all the way, right up to their last breath. Even their death is a gift, and resurrection is born from this kind of death. And so as we embrace the teachings and the truly beautiful example of the Christ this Easter, I am wishing you both, all, more than both of you. Actually, I want to share one more thing, because I'm going to indulge myself today. It's my birthday, and it's the resurrection of the Christ, so yay, we can do this. I have to share with you from Ted Lotus, Gorillas of Grace, and I love sharing this every Easter, entitled, I Praise You for This Resurrection Madness. Lord of such amazing surprises, as put a catch in my breath and wings on my heart, I praise you for this joy, too great for words, but not for tears and songs and sharing. For this mercy that blots out my betrayals and bids me begin again, to limp on, to hop, to skip and jump on, to mend what is broken in and around me, and to forgive the breakers. For this yes, to life and laughter, to love and lovers, and to my unwinding self, for this kingdom unleashed in me and I in it forever, and no dead ends to growing, to choices, to chances, to calls to be just, no dead end to living, to making peace, to dreaming dreams, to being glad of heart, for this resurrection madness, which is wiser than I, in which I see how great you are, how full of grace. Hallelujah. And so, my beloveds, whatever you're doing, have a wonderful, blessed Easter. May you be conscious of the amount of chocolate eggs that you are eating today. And I have a song that I absolutely love and want to share with you. And I don't normally invite you to, but I'm going to invite you to get up and dance to this one. It's entitled, He Did It All For Me, by Fia and James Fortune. Enjoy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
He didn't tell you what he loved it for.
give him worship. Give him a show your appreciation, Lord.
I trust you enjoyed that as much as I did. He did it all for me. Have a wonderful and blessed Easter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.